It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird with three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And we are down at Fenway right now. Beautiful day. Beautiful. A little warm. Shouldn't have worn the long sleeve black shirt. A little smelly over here. I apologize to our guest here in studio. But that's what comes with the territory when you have a man with Swiss blood like me. We are in the Ford Clubhouse at Fenway Studio, brought to you by New England Ford Dealers. Employee pricing for all. You pay for what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And with us right now, Sox manager Chad Tracy. And he is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Thanks for coming back and hanging out with us today, Mr. Tracy.
Thanks for having me.
So we were kind of speculating, because I know originally our interview was set up for 2:15, and there was like we kept getting texts saying that you were going to be a little bit later. Anything going on that we should know about?
No, there was just a few different, a handful of conversations that popped up that I had to handle before I came down.
Okay, none of those were like team meeting-esque or
anything? No.
Okay.
Nothing like that.
All right. There was an interesting comment yesterday. Obviously, the team, you know, it's at home, it's just, you seem to be snake-bitten. It's a very strange thing. I know that right now, I believe 9 wins at home, which I think is the worst in the league. But I did find a comment yesterday from Izzy to be after the game. It raised some eyebrows because it might have given us an interesting look as to what he believes might be going on and why the team isn't doing well at home. He said, "I feel like on the road we're a very close-knit team. We come home and there's just a lot of people. A lot of people, it's different. It's just a different vibe at home, and we've got to figure out a way to make it small like how it is on the road. Just feel like at home we see a lot of people that we don't know or you know that are around this area. It's just a close-knit group, and we were becoming a really close team, and yeah, we got to find a way to bring that back home." What do you feel about his comments? What do you think he means by all of that?
Broadly, I just think there's a lot more people at Fenway. You know, it's the nature of, first of all, it's a big market. There's a lot of people. You go out for batting practice. There's fans on the field. There's tons of media. That's part of it here. I do think, and I don't want to speak for him, it's not wrong. Like when you go on the road, you're all together. There's nowhere to go. Like you're not necessarily rushing out to get to your family because it's just us. You're getting on the bus together to and from the ballpark. And there's a very small contingent of media that's there. They're in there for 45 minutes, and it really is a little bit. But when you come here, it's different. I do, like, as I watched him answer that, like, there was a long pause before he answered when you watch it. And I had the similar pause when they asked, like, sometimes you're searching for that answer. We all are, yeah. Right? And we know that we're, you know, a good streak at home away from turning this around. But sometimes you're, you know, it's that feeling of like you're searching for the answer and you're, you know, playing out what could it be, right? So we're always looking at like how can we do that. But I think broadly he means it feels smaller on the road because it is. It is when you go to Kansas City or Detroit or whatever. It's not Fenway Park and there's just less going on. But at the same time, like we got to find a way to make it small and deal with that ourselves because it's not going to change.
How do you make it small? Like that's like how do you address that? Because obviously he feels that. This is probably something that, or at least hopes it sound like, that he wants to have this be a little more controlled with less people. How do you do that?
You can't control, you know, I got to ask Iz too, but I don't think you control how much media there, wherever. But you broadly, you want to know the answer? You win some games. You win some games here and it becomes less of a conversation. That's my answer.
Sure.
Is you come home and you have a stretch at home when you play and you win 4 or 5 in a row and everybody stops talking about it. Like that's a big part. But I don't ignore what he says and I think, you know, just extra effort from all of our part to make it mostly about us, our group of 26 that's playing the game that night, and try your very best to eliminate all the other stuff. Like, that doesn't matter over there. That doesn't matter over there. It's just about us, right? And let's get it done. So, but I do think a lot of things like this, these topics tend to disappear if you go out and have a good stretch at home.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Winning cures all.
Yes.
Some people read into this, Chad, and maybe incorrectly, that there are too many hitting coaches or voices, hitting voices or people that are around the cage. Is that related at all to what it is?
No, there hasn't been a single random hitting person that's come in. It's the same 4 guys that we've had since the changes were made, and those are the same guys that are in there. So no, that's the thing. There's a lot of things like, oh, there's a bunch of extra people. That's not necessarily the case. It's just, I think broadly, there's just more people around, and I don't think it necessarily means just Red Sox people. just think there's just a lot more going on at Fenway Park than there is at other places.
What do you make of Caleb Durbin and our Narvaez as well going outside the organization to get batting help? We actually talked to Lorenzo Garmendia, who runs a place right up the street. I think it's Gratton Baseball. Mm-hmm. Caleb, I guess, reached out to him and ended up getting help with him. I think he came to the park yesterday and actually helped him. You know, it is shocking from the outside looking in because you're like, wow, this is the Boston Red Sox. You would think that they had the best batting coaches and you wouldn't have to go outside of the organization. What do you think about that when something like that happens?
I think broadly there's probably a lot more players than you guys know that like have. I mean, when these guys go home in the offseason, mm-hmm. you don't have enough hitting coaches to go home with them. They have people they work with. Yeah. And I think there's a ton of players that have hitting coaches or people they work with in the offseason that know them that they probably reach out to for help.
But this is in the season at home.
Right. He's working hard with our guys too. Like, shoot, he's taking early hitting in Kansas City. He's working on all the things that he talked about.
Yeah.
Getting the ball in the air, the vacancy on the right side of the field that he talked about. Like, I watched him take two sessions of early hitting on one of the most recent road trips, working on driving the ball to the opposite field and getting the ball off the ground. So, I these things get play, you know, because it shows up on social media. I'm like, it doesn't mean that he's not working with our guys, working his tail off, like a lot of hours with our guys to get right. But I do think people talk to other people, you know, as well outside of here. You know, if they have people they're close with, that happens a lot.
In baseball, that's just kind of understood. That's how the ecosystem works. Because I had a coach that would never want us getting advice from anybody. They're very territorial, whether it be trainers, coaches, hitting coaches. Baseball is different. It's a different
kind of ecosystem. there is the ecosystems, particularly, I know it's during the season, but in the off season, like, there's, you know, cohesion on finding out every guy when they go home in the off season, where you're going, where you're going to be training, who you're working with, so we can be in communication with those types of people. Say, here's what we're doing in the season, here's what we've been really pushing, and you're trying to get on board, because you know that's going to happen. It's a long off season where they spend a lot of time alone, and you have to have that communication. So, yes, I think it is a different ecosystem. You know, guys have to go get their work in, and they're going to have people that do that, but you want to be on the same page. So I think that doesn't throw up any big radars for me. The most important thing to me right now is Caleb Durbin starting to swing the bat pretty good,
mm-hmm.
And that helps the bottom of our order in a big way.
Speaking of swinging the bat, how's Roman Anthony taking his injury?
He's doing okay. I think he's probably, you know, frustrated on a couple of. I think he's frustrated that he can't be out there with us. There's been a lot of attention around it. That's another. It comes with the territory here. There's a lot of attention around it because he's not able to play right now. But I do think enough people internally have reached out to him and let him know, like, try not to get too caught up in the noise of things that are happening that maybe people don't know that are involved. Like, we got your back.
Yeah.
We want you healthy. We want you back. But we want you to get back healthy.
Yeah.
You know, not playing hurt. So. I think Roman's very even-keeled. You guys have heard me say that before. He's a very even-keeled person. He doesn't get too high or too low. He's focused on getting himself healthy and right so he can be in the lineup and help us.
Has he expressed any frustration on the mischaracterization of what his injury was by Sam Kennedy?
Roman doesn't do a lot of expressing frustration. I've talked to him a good bit. He's not one that gets too bent out of shape about a lot of things. He doesn't do that. Whether or not he is, you guys could ask him. But I think Roman right now is just fine as far as knowing the people inside the room, like, we're good, like, we got to get you healthy. And we certainly don't want to ask you to go out there and swing a bat if you're having jolting pain in your hand or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
We just got to get him right. So believe me, you talk enough to him, you'll realize he doesn't get, you know, even on the bad end, he doesn't get overly frustrated and boisterous with that stuff. He just focuses on what he has to do.
That's good, because that's got to suck being in his position. Like, just wanting to play, and then especially when you feel that you're about to take that next step as you're seeing the dry swings.
Right.
And then you just go, here we go again, and where he has a little bit of a back, I don't want to say a backslide.
Yeah.
But it's not where he wants to be.
Right.
And that's got to be tough having a young player especially like that, where you just kind of almost got to be like, dude, just hang in there. Don't listen to the noise.
Right.
And just try to keep your head in it.
Right. And you're right about it. It's like a lot of people that want to go to the term, you know, oh, he had a setback, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, not necessarily. Like, when you're coming back from an injury, you expect there to be, you know, especially that, you expect there to be things like, I'm going good. Oop, that didn't feel very, you know, it's ups and downs. That's part of coming back from an injury.
Yeah.
It very rarely just goes perfectly, like, oh, we're going to start and everything, boom, 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 and everything's perfect. Like, that's not usually how most of them go.
Yeah.
So making sure that he knows, like, you know, that we support him, and like that, you know, that we're not like pushing this guy to play hurt. You know, we want him to be healthy. And I think he knows that.
Does your gut say after the All-Star break? most
likely? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I won't say that because we usually get in trouble when we try to put timetables on things and and it doesn't happen or it happens earlier. Like, you just don't know. I think the best way you can handle that is everybody's body is going to respond to different things, different injuries differently, and you got to go with the flow of how that guy is improving and how he's feeling.
Yeah.
And when he starts to feel really good, you give him more, you give him more, you give him more, then you get him on a rehab assignment and get him back. So when that happens, we'll do that with Roman. I don't want to put a timetable. Like, I hope it's sooner than that, you just don't know.
Well, Chad, we're talking to Chad Tracy. And there's something I just want to get your opinion on, because the players seem to gravitate towards you. You seem to be a guy who talks their language. And, there was an article in the Boston Globe about how there's an impression around the league that the team has been leaning a little too hard on analytics and less on getting to know the actual player when they're looking around to, you know, either bringing players in. But even Theo Epstein said on a recent podcast, he had a really interesting quote saying, "What really makes a person tick as a player has become a lost art." Do you kind of feel the same? Is that baseball, not as much even the Red Sox, but just baseball in general, might be relying too much on numbers and not as much in actually doing the work and spending time with the players and getting to know them and saying, you know what? A guy like Kyle Schwarber may be over 30, and he might not be exactly, you know, what the algorithm says is good, but my God, this guy can still hit bombs, and he seems like a gamer.
He can hit, can't
he? Yes, he can. Unfortunately, Sox know that too well.
I think it's a good question. I think the secret in that whole thing is doing both.
Yeah.
And being good at doing both. I think both are right. Like, there are, over time, and I don't want to even use the word analytics. Like, you know, it's statistics. Statistically, when you look at players, like, over time, over larger samples, like, you know, have a pretty good idea of what players they reveal, who they are, what they may struggle with, you know, in certain situations versus lefties. Like, it reveals. But at the same time, like, yes, like that piece that you talked about, like understanding the player, having conversations with them, knowing who needs to be pushed and who needs to be patted on the back, like all these different kinds of things. Like, those are really, really important. But that being said, you still need to know what are they good at and what are they not. And that doesn't mean you just say, oh, he's not good at, oh, we got to try to make him better at it. But if I have X player that's a little better at that, then maybe there's a pinch hit opportunity there or whatever. So you have to know that information, and it's very rarely wrong information.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you got to communicate and you have to know that other side of it. And that makes players feel more engaged too. So for me, it lies somewhere in the middle. There is like knowing the information, but having people around that aren't afraid to have those conversations and really get in deep with the player. That's really important too.
Chad, any good news on Whitlock's return or Crochet?
Whitlock's doing really good. He threw a pretty intense side yesterday. So everything on track feels good. He's been feeling better every single day. So we'll see what next steps are for him. He may go through a rehab or something just to make sure that he's up and ready. He hasn't been down long, but things are progressing really nicely there. And then, Garrett, the imaging just showed a very small strain in the lat. He's been improving each day too. So we're just basically in wait mode of like when he's asymptomatic to the trainers, you know, testing and stuff, he can resume throwing. When that's going to be, I don't know. But it wasn't a serious thing that we found, but we do have to wait until he's asymptomatic.
What does this team need to win more games at home?
You're going to ask me that. I'm going to give you the pause, right? like Izzy or I did yesterday with the media too. I give you the pause because it's like we did nothing. We just need to play like we did in Cleveland, right? Like we, you know, there was games here last week that we very easily could have won, and it's like you can pick apart and why didn't you? It's like, well, maybe one was we had a lead and the bullpen didn't hold one day, right? Or one was not a great start, but then we started banging the ball around and came up one run short. Mm-hmm. There's games within that. That we could have won, and we just need to put together a little stretch where, you know, you win four or something in a row and you kind of get this whole thing and the player feels like, all right, we've conquered that, now let's go.
Yeah.
That's easier said than done. I get it. But we need a stretch. We need a good stretch. That's really it.
Can I throw out just you can shoot it down. The one suggestion is the team profiles as a young team. So young guys playing in Fenway.
Yep.
It's a different vibe. You have new players that are coming in for the first time. Is it all maybe just the profile of the team because it's young and you have so many new guys on this team and playing for the Red Sox in Fenway for the first time that might be somewhat of a factor why they're not playing as good at home?
It could be, but then you'd say, well, what about X game that we lost 8-7? We scored 7 runs. We banged it around. They looked fine. They were comfortable.
Yeah.
I think there's something too, like, you know, like I think Izzy had made a comment like, man, if, you know, jump out to like a 3 or 4-0 lead and play with the lead, get the fans involved early, like that stuff happens. Sometimes it's out of your control if a guy's out there dealing against you. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I won't ignore, dismiss, like, you know, guys that are here for the first time, maybe, you know, they look around. But I think there's been plenty of instances in my time here, at least at Fenway, where like we're playing a good baseball game, you know, everything looks fine. Nobody looks nervous to me. They're getting after it, like, and they're doing what they're supposed to. And we come up a run short, or one thing happens in a game that goes against us and ends up costing us the game. So we have to win at home. Like we're not hiding from that. Like if we continue this, like, you know, we're going to end up treading water like we have. The good thing is we're playing very good on the road. Most teams don't do that. So in a way that's helping us, you know, somewhat stay afloat. But we need a stretch at home. We absolutely do.
Chad Tracy, should the team have to earn it, Sweet Caroline's? Like if the team is getting their ass kicked, is it okay to play Sweet Caroline?
I don't even know if I should answer. I don't know. It's a staple. It's a staple of Fenway, I guess. You know, it's like it's.
But it's like, I mean, you look at like Geno time at the Celtics. They only play that when it's like near the end of the game and it's a blowout and it's a big party. It's a celebration. There's nothing weirder than having like a game just get like blown or somebody gives up a bomb and you're sitting there and you're all pissed off and then you're like, no, right. No, I'm not feeling it right.
All
now.
The more reason we need to stretch at home.
That's right. That's
they
right.
Play Sweet Caroline. We're winning 5 nights in a row.
That will feel a lot better. Yeah. Well, Chad Tracy, thank you so much for coming in, and we always appreciate you coming in studio. And listen, let's cross our fingers, man. Let's hope we get some home wins.
Thanks
let's,
for having
let's
me.
Let's do it. Hey, always great to have you, Chad. All right. That was Chad Tracy, your manager of the Boston Red Sox, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. We'll be right back. 93.7 WEEI, Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. Christian Arcanis is kind of milling around over here. He's getting ready for his big show. I'm not going to put him on the spot yet because he's like, you know, he's in the dressing room. He's getting ready
for pregame.
Yeah, he's getting all pumped. Let's real quick go to Steve in Centerville. What's up, Steve? How's it going, my man?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, hey, man. Excellent question to Tracy about the Sweet Caroline BS. Red Sox should show that we're about winning games. It's not just an amusement park for people that are not baseball fans. One good way to put an exclamation point on that is to actually say, no, we're not going to do Sweet Caroline when we're losing. We only do this when we're winning.
Thanks, Steve. I just think that the way that the Celtics have always done Geno time is perfect. It's like when Geno time happens, it feels special. Like, dude, I was at a game and Geno time happened. That if you obviously don't know what we're talking about, that's when the Celtics are blowing out a team. I think it's the standard's probably like 15 points, where there's no way they can come
back.
It's
comfortable, right?
Yeah, with like 2 minutes left, and then up on, and it used to be Kevin Garnett used to love Geno time. He would get the whole team out to take a look at it, and it was the old American Bandstand where they were dancing around.
It's like Red Light the Cigar. I mean, it's part of the culture there, you know?
It is. You earned your Geno time, and there's nothing worse than being at Fenway Park and someone just like giving up a bomb that, you know, puts your team behind and they do Sweet Caroline. You're just like, no, this is not appropriate. I don't feel like standing up and putting my arm around the people next to me like I'm at like some sorority party and singing Sweet Caroline. I don't have anything against Sweet Caroline when the team's winning. Great. You do stupid stuff. You sing your heart out. I don't care. And I'm not one of these people who just like hates the song completely because it's written about an underage girl and an old man's obsession with it. That's a completely different story.
He only said that once. He said three other things when he asked about it. But yes, that's like, one. He changes his story off.
He does. Well, I'm sure once he actually told the truth, I was like, oh, wow.
That didn't sound good.
Everyone knows I'm going to be asked about this the rest of my life.
It was just random.
No, I am not one of these people who is against joy. Not at all. But it's just, wouldn't it be better if you earned it?
My only pushback is you would admit when you're at Fenway, there's people around you, there's some people that will stay just to hear it, even if they're getting blown out.
I don't care about those people.
Okay, well, there would be a pushback from the Pink Hats.
Like, all I want to see is I want to see a guy picking a fight with Wilson, with Contreras, wearing a Harry Potter 50 years, or whatever, 20 years of magic Red Sox jersey, which is one of the funniest things that I've seen. Like, that was just the best. He was like, you son of a bitch. And he's wearing a Harry Potter Red Sox jersey. It was Slytherin, by the way, because those are the bad guys. Real quick, let's go to Dom in Southboro. Dom, what's happening, Dom?
Hey, Dom. Put a smile on that one. Pelota, ¿cómo estás?
Oh, wow. He's
love you, Ken.
All my calls. What's up, Don?
Love you, bud. That
was the best Ken doing the Wood Sox.
Those are some of my Woo Sox games. By the way, I'm back in the call Sunday afternoon. So if you want to check me out, if you're in the Worcester area.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, yeah.
Doing the call again?
Alex Jensen and I, yep, doing the call Sunday.
Do you ever, I mean, is it pressure filled? How tough is it calling a baseball game? I have
no, it's the best. It's just fun. It's just basically like a talk show with baseball going on.
All right, if you had to rank, like if I had to sit and rank, which ones would be the most difficult out of the big four?
Hockey for sure.
Hockey, but without a question is the toughest. Because first of all, just keeping track of who's on and off the ice,
right,
and then obviously the hard to pronounce names,
yeah,
and then painting a visual of exactly what's happening at what it's too fast for me. Basketball would be number two.
Football's fun. Football's great.
Football's great because all you have to do is there's one guy who's the play-by-play guy. You just say what you see, and then there's the one guy who just kind of, you know, the color guy,
yeah,
who yells, you know, unicorn show pony, stuff like that. And then you've got it. But baseball seems like you can just like, just kind of like, you know, like Euchre back in the day.
Yeah,
apparently, he used to drink and stuff. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the pitch clock now has changed it. I mean, it's a tough one.
It has. All right.
Come up with a catchy phrase there.
617-779-7937. We will unload the take grenades. Also, take your calls to end the show here. We have as I said, it's a beautiful day down at Fenway.
Perfect
day. Let's hope they can pull something off. I mean, Chad Tracy seems like a good guy. I don't know why it's so tough for them to win at home. And I know that sounded like such a general question when I asked them.
Pretty easy last night. Pete Alonso played for one team and it wasn't yours.
It was a team that you were in. It was a guy you were in on, in quotes. I love how all these guys that they were in on end up coming back and punishing them, like Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber. All right, 617-779-7937. We will take your calls next and we will sweep the leg. Hey, what's happening, gang? Good to see you. Welcome to the Red Sox game. I was about to make a joke about this song, but then I saw a family out there.
Okay. Good, nice pivot.
Yeah, yeah, good. All right, it is Rich Ken and Ted Johnson here on WEEI 93.7. And a lot of people, hey, what's up? How you guys doing? They're about to go into Fenway Park right now. What a lovely day for a game. Chad
and you're guaranteed a win. They never lose here.
Guaranteed.
So don't worry about it.
That's right. And the drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Real quick, Chris Narcan, I hate to drag you on because I know you're getting ready for the show.
That's okay.
But you just told me something. What did Asante Samuel just tweet?
Asante Samuel tweeted something very weird today. he was talking about A.J. Brown, and he tweeted the following. Hold on. Let me pull it back up here as I just now lost it. But he said... He said,
Bradfo should get him for the 2-minute grill.
AJ Brown wouldn't be able to handle my mouth in practice. He would have been left Philly bleeping with me.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to handle his mouth.
Wouldn't be able to handle his mouth in practice.
First of all, Sunday Sandwich just hates the Patriots.
Yeah, like, pause, like, if that's anything.
Yeah, pause. Yeah, pause.
That's big talk, you know? I mean, he backed that up, Asante, or what? I mean, that's.
What kind of gifts were posted underneath that.
What is his beef? I forget how this started.
I don't think he hates the Patriots. I thought he just hated Bill.
Oh, maybe it's just Bill.
Yeah,
maybe
I'm wrong. That's
maybe
it. Maybe I don't think he hates the Patriots.
Belichick. No, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just Bill Belichick.
I responded with Tobias Funke. Nothing wrong with that. With the tape recorder.
You will not be able to handle my mouth.
Is he calling AJ soft? Right. Is that what it is?
I think.
Well, I mean, if he's handling his mouth, I don't think that. All right, let's do some take grenades, shall we? Let's launch them. Roll.
Incoming!
Good boy.
Hey, the take grenades are brought to you by Milligan and Higgins, proud sponsor, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to MilliganandHiggins.com for a free consultation. We only have time for a couple, so let's Jackson and Stiz, just give me the first two. Let's hear.
So I know exactly how to fix the Red Sox. Good. What they need is 2 tablespoons olive oil, 1 pound of chicken thighs cut into bite-sized pieces, 1 small onion finely chopped, a red bell pepper sliced, 3 cloves of garlic minced, 1.5 cups of short grain rice, you know, that Spanish paella rice, 1 tablespoon of smoked paprika,
is he just reading it right?
A pinch of saffron threads, 4 cups of seafood stock warmed, 8 to 10 large shrimp.
All right. Okay, all right.
What the hell? Is that the Jobu cocktail from Major Leaguers?
Sounded like a delicious ceviche.
It did sound quite delicious. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it sounds like a very nice paella he's making there. I don't know if I should continue or just like he's just reading recipes.
Well, I mean, there's more recipes, and the next one sounds all right.
Let's go to let's go to the next one.
Another way that the Red Sox can win.
Stop! What? Is that the second one? Is that the second one?
Iron Chef.
That is the second one.
Okay. It's the same guy. All right, let's see the second one.
There is another way that the Red Sox can win that's a lot less taxing. And that pretty much starts with a pound of ground beef, a small onion finely chopped, two cloves of garlic minced, a cup of beef broth, two tablespoons tomato paste, one tablespoon yellow mustard, one tablespoon Worcestershire sauce, one teaspoon chili powder, half tablespoon of paprika, half teaspoon of salt, quarter tablespoon of black pepper. And then for serving, you just put eight all beef hot dogs, eight hot dog buns, yellow mustard, and finely diced white onion. You start off by placing
Thank you very much.
Chili dogs?
Sounds like some delicious chili dogs.
I don't know why I enjoyed that. That was actually made me laugh.
What just happened?
Yeah, thank
thank you,
Coop. Thank you, Borman. Asante Samuel, what did you think about that recipe?
Wouldn't be able to handle my mouth with that.
I wouldn't either. I definitely would not either. All right. I think we've had enough take grenades.
By the way, real quick.
Yeah.
Kiner Falefa, like, talked to the media again today about his comments from last night. He's like their team leader. They have made Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, the spokesman of the team. And he might not be wrong. He's like, I hate it. It's great. Something's not working, but this is the guy we turn to in our hour of need now, Arkin.
Yeah, this is strange. So if you didn't hear the
comment. He is like their best hitter right now. So I guess. It does make sense.
He was 0 for 3 last night, but
it's true.
It was interesting because he basically was saying that, you know, when you're on the road, everything's fine. But when you're here, there's too many people around. And it almost sounded vague as if he was ripping on all the batting coaches and all the different voices that are in his ear. Didn't you say Greg this
morning?
That's
what Greg said. Greg's scoop is that, yes, he's referring to, or others have been upset at, the Driveline Consortium, too many of the nerds hanging around the cages giving advice, or the clubhouse, I guess.
You know what Jake in Boston said last night?
I know. I missed Jake.
Oh, yeah. This is kind of great. Do we have that clip by any chance?
I think it is. Yeah. I'm not sure if we have it or not, but I can tell you that Jake in Boston, before Kiner Falefa said all this, called in and said, the reason why they're no good at home is because there's too many groupies.
Too many groupies. Well, yeah. That was one theory that, you know.
That was a big theory, and then all of a sudden, Kiner Falefa comes out with, there's all these people around.
I doubt
Jake and Boston. I brushed it off. I, like, hung up on him. I was like, come on, man.
Is there a place where the groupies hang out at Fenway Park when it's over? Because I know,
yeah,
obviously.
Studio.
This is how the Beatles
Game on, Loretta's.
It was just, you know.
Oh, so hang on. You're telling me they just hang out at the bars? Like, there's, because I know that, like, you know, at a concert, there's, you know, they hang out by backstage. And they, you know, there's someone who goes and brings them back there. Is there any place at Fenway Park, like any eggs, like
kids wait for them to come out in, like, autograph stuff, like out by the garage over there? Like, when I leave, I see the kids all gathered around, like, behind the fence. Like,
I don't think that's what he's talking about, Arkin.
That's the only thing I've seen.
No, because there was a story. I forget which player it was.
Well, Theo struck out with a gorilla suit. There's got to be that entrance or exit.
So there was a story about a player, and I forget who it was.
He could have asked him about it.
Write his phone number on a baseball and would throw them to, like a girl that he liked in the stands.
Uh-huh.
And that's how they would meet. Like, they would call the phone number and do that. I don't know whether or not that's the same deal nowadays. But I know that hockey players, there's, you know, a place where they all wait. What are they? Oh, I was about to say a name that I think that the hockey players call the groupies.
The Pats had a place, obviously, after the Super Bowl where they were hanging out.
Well, that was just a party.
Yeah.
Like, that was a big party. Which, by the way, there's nothing more depressing than the videos that came out after they lost the perfect season. Did you remember that one? It was the year that Matt Light looked like he was on something, and he had his shirt off, and he was dancing around to whatever, and it was after they had lost. Yeah, that was always depressing. Uh-huh. I think we've talked to a couple players who were like, yeah, those parties, they sucked. It's like Snoop Dogg and stuff was there, but who wanted to play the loser's party?
Remember Lil Jon when the Bruins lost to the Blues, and Marchand and all them were wearing the goggles anyway, and, like, Lil Jon was there, and it was like, guys, you lost. Like, come on.
I don't remember that.
That was a tough one.
All right, well, everybody, it is a gorgeous day. Hopefully there is some sort of Asante Samuel-esque mouth movement that will get this team straightened out for a win.
Oh, so Dale Ordway would love to know where those groupies hang out, you know, just for research purposes.
Yes, ready to squirt out a win.
Oh.
Let's see if they can do that. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening to our show. We've got Christian Arkan. We've got Red Sox baseball. Hey, Big props to Noah, our intern, getting a hold of Theo Epstein.
Nice job, Noah.
It was a good challenge, and he was able to get a hold of
him. Didn't book him, though.
Just saying. Are you going to take that, Noah? I tried my best. That's all I can do. All right. Stiz, Jackson, Dale Ordway, thank you so much. Red Sox baseball is next. Hey, Emerson's on TV. Hey, what's up? All right, everybody, have yourself a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.